the man that we now know as St. Francis, not Pope Francis, St. Francis, was born with everything. He was born with money, with charm. People liked Francis a lot, with a business pedigree from his father. Until God spoke to him, and within a short time, Francis found himself naked, literally, homeless, disowned by his father, and regarded as a fool and coward by people in his hometown. And if you just looked at that story from the outside, it would kind of seem like God ruined Francis's life. Or at least Francis's crazy ideas about God had ruined his life. But if you asked him, and if you followed him, as many, many, many people did, and still do, you would find that after God spoke to him, and he gave up everything that he had, only then was he filled with joy and purpose and freedom. I was thinking of St. Francis this week because I kind of feel like Francis is kind of, you ever read those create your own adventure books, right? Where you kind of pick one way and the story goes one way, you pick a different way and the story goes a different way, right? And you have different endings and all kinds of, I kind of feel like Francis and the rich young ruler are different endings to a create your own adventure story. Jesus said to both of them, essentially, give away everything you have and then come and follow me. And the rich young ruler did not, and Francis did. And thus it was only Francis who discovered that eternal life, the fullness of life that God created us for, that God gives us, eternal life is a free gift that costs everything we have in order to experience. Now, this Go story that we're looking at today has scared a lot of people. It's also led to a lot of unhelpful interpretations and applications. So on one hand, there are lots of people who have read this story and decided that what Jesus said to the rich young ruler should be universally applied to everyone. That Jesus says, go and sell all your possessions, is what Jesus says to everyone. And either they've done that and taught that, or they've said, I'm not going to do that. And they've walked away from Jesus. And I would suggest to you that that interpretation of this story is not sustainable. It's not even really what we see in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus doesn't say to everyone, sell all your possessions. The early church didn't say that to everyone. Okay, so I would suggest that that's not how we read this story and understand it. What's that? Did I hear some sighs of relief? Some whoos out there, maybe? At the same time, there are those who would then say that this story is only something that Jesus said to this one person, and it only applies to him. It's just a story in the past, and it really doesn't have anything to say to us. Well, we know it doesn't apply to everyone, so I don't need to read it because I don't want it to apply to me, right? And I would also offer to you that reading it that way totally misses the point as well. So let's take a moment and look a little bit more closely at this conversation between Jesus and this rich young ruler. We know he was a ruler from the Gospel of Luke, so that's why we call him that. And I'm not going to preach the entire passage. I really want to focus on this conversation and the go that Jesus gives to this young man. I'll have to come back to it another time. This young man comes to Jesus, and he seems to have genuine questions for Jesus. I think we can give this rich young ruler the benefit of the doubt. Even if he is kind of like a Boy Scout who's been collecting merit badges and now is just looking for an Eagle Scout project so he can finish the journey, right? He kind of comes to Jesus genuinely asking, how can I cover all my bases? How can I make sure that I have the life that God wants to give, eternal life. What good deed must I do to have eternal life? It's a genuine question. And so Jesus starts and engages him with the basics. Well, what about the commandments? You don't need to come to me to figure out what's good. It's all written there in the scriptures. And because there are over 600 of them in the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, the rich young ruler says, well, which ones? You know, what's kind of the main thrust of these commandments? And Jesus takes mostly from the Ten Commandments. We could recite most of those. And he always likes to stick in that love your neighbor thing, right? Jesus always puts that in there. And this was pretty standard and typical. You know, if you asked Jewish teachers at that time, you know, what are the most important things, that they would have pretty much said the same thing that Jesus says. But the rich young man, to his credit, maybe it was because of how Jesus said it, or I don't know, senses that there's something more. There's something more. He says, I've kept all these commandments. What do I still lack? What am I still missing? And Jesus says, if you wish to be perfect. I want to stop on that word for just a minute. Because that word does not mean what we think it means. It's the Greek word telos. And telos might be better understood as complete. How can I complete the set, if you will? Or it might be used to describe reaching a goal of a journey, the end of a journey. We might think of it that way, that the rich young ruler has been on this journey. How do I get to the destination, finally, of eternal life, this life that God wants for me? Or how do I at least take the next step towards that end, towards that goal, towards that telos? And he says, if you want to be complete, or if you want to finish this journey, go. Sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. You see, here's the thing about the Ten Commandments, and I think we struggle with them as the Jews of Jesus' day struggled with them as well. A lot of times we take the Ten Commandments to be this basic and complete moral code, individual moral code. And I don't think, if we read the whole story of the scriptures, that's really what the Ten Commandments are. They're not just a moral code for you to live by. They're a framework for God's community. The Israelites have come, the Hebrews have come out of Egypt. They're about to become this nation, this new nation. And God is basically building a framework for them, saying, these are the basics that you need to live by as a community if you're going to be the people that I've called you and saved you to be. And so when we, at my house, and we wanted to plant a garden, just this week we were reminded that our yard kind of sends all the water to the back, right? So we said, okay, if we're going to plant a garden, we need to build some raised beds in that garden. And so I went to the Menards and got some cedar planks and some 4x4s and made, this is not mine, that's more than mine was. So just full disclosure. But went to Menards and put this together, and we poured dirt in it, and we made these flower beds. And that's basically what the Ten Commandments are. The boards and the soil, they are the prerequisites for growth and life to happen. They're the boundaries for it. But if I just left my garden like this, it wouldn't really be a garden at all, would it? The real life comes when you dig in to the soil and plant seeds and cultivate and tend and then eventually harvest it. And so Jesus is saying, all right, are you ready? You've got the framework, you've got the environment where real eternal life can start and happen. But now you need to come follow me to dig in and experience the fullness of this eternal life that God has always wanted to give to his people. Now that suggestion is a radical shift, not only in how we think about the Ten Commandments, but for this young man, it's his whole view of the world. It's his whole theology and understanding of life. You see, Jesus, when he says, go and sell all your possessions, give them to the poor, and come follow me, and this is how you will experience and receive eternal life, Jesus is asking him to give up a familiar theology that is working pretty well for this young man. And it goes something like this. This is what a lot of people believe, not just this young man, that he starts with his righteousness, his obedience. He keeps the commandments. And if he does, he will receive God's approval. And God's approval is, he knows that he has God's approval, and people knew that they had God's approval because they were blessed with wealth or status or a good harvest or what have you. And if they had those things, then they could be assured and secure that they were in good with God. And so when Jesus says, get rid of your wealth and status, if I could get a click here, get rid of your wealth and status, well then, well how do I know if I have God's approval? And how do I know if I've been living properly? And so all of a sudden, his assurance, sense of assurance and security has no foundation. Jesus is asking this young man to give up everything that he relies upon to understand himself and the world. And we can see it's not just the young man, because you see how the disciples react after the man walks away, and they say, well, this guy who obviously had God's approval, was obviously righteous, was obviously moral, was obviously had the wealth and status to prove it, if he can't be saved, well, who can? Jesus asked this young man to give up not only his material possessions, but his identity and everything that he relied upon. Essentially, to become like a child. There's a reason these two stories are together. To become like a child, to start over. It's so exciting. This is our third time doing this now with Baden. It's so exciting and just interesting to see kids start grow up and start to put things together, to put the world together. They don't get how it works at first. And then they start to connect this and this. Well, this is mom, and this, if I start crying, well, maybe I'll get fed. Or, you know, they start to put how the world works together, piece by piece by piece by piece. And until we get older and we all have it all figured out, right? But we like to think we do, at least. We like to think we have the basics of this life figured out. And Jesus is saying, forget everything. Go back to being a child when you don't understand anything. You don't understand how the world works. And let me reteach you. Let me help you put the pieces back together. Where life comes through death. To relearn the world relying on God, not just my morality and my possessions and my understanding of things. And this was too much for this young man, because he had such a strong theology and foundation that was working for him. He walks away. And it may seem to us like he very obviously made the wrong choice. Right? I mean, for us, it's obvious. It was either his possessions or Jesus. What's more valuable? Jesus, obviously. We know this 2,000 years later. But I imagine that if we look at these two stories, the story of Francis and the story of the rich young man, I imagine that we might see more of our story in the rich young man than we do in the story of Francis. Like the man, we would rather rest easy and rely on what we've earned and learned and achieved. We would much rather rely on those things than to become like children, to start over, to let go of all of the worldly things that we rely on for comfort and security and assurance, and allow Jesus to reteach us life relying on God and God alone. So I thought we would reread this story. And we're going to reread it as if we are the young man coming to Jesus with this question, which I think and I hope is a genuine question, or you wouldn't be here today. God, what do you want from me? How do I have the life that you desire for me to have? And I think we can all agree that this is a question that we genuinely want to know the answer to. Okay, so we're going to start and we're going to pretend that we are the man or the woman, and we're coming to Jesus, and we're going to kind of fill in the blanks. I'm going to give you space to fill in some of these blanks with what Jesus might say to you. Okay? If you want to close your eyes, you can, but you don't have to. But I do want you to imagine that Jesus is out, maybe he's on Summit Street, right outside here. And you see him. And you run up to him because you think that he might have the answers for you. And you ask him, Jesus, what does God want from me? What does God want from me? And Jesus sees in your heart that you're being real. You're really asking. You have a genuine desire to know. And he looks at you. And he says, well, what about this? What is it that you rely on right now? What moral code, what practices, what ways of thinking and living do you already have? Have you built your life on? What are those things that Jesus might repeat back to you? Well, what about hard work? What about family? What about going to church every Sunday? What are those things that you already have been living for? What's the minimum you've been trying to make sure you maintain in your life? And you kind of take a deep breath and say, oh, good, okay. Okay, Jesus, I've got that. I've got that morality. I've got that way of thinking. I've got those things in my life. But as you look at Jesus' face, you realize there's something more. And so tentatively you ask, what is it, Jesus? What do I still lack? What am I missing? And Jesus begins to speak. What does Jesus say? What are you missing? What are you lacking? And I think, personally, that you know that in your gut, that in your soul, I think this rich young man knew what Jesus was going to say when Jesus looked at him. What is it? What is the go and get rid of that's keeping you from the come and follow? Is it material? Maybe it's an object that you own. Maybe it's a resource that's available to you. Maybe it is a life, a total life that is just so wrapped up in materialism and the pursuit of things for comfort and security that you just need to start over. Maybe it's your sense of identity. Maybe it's your idea of who you are. A way of thinking about yourself. A role that you have. People that you're responsible for. That Jesus is asking you to let go of. And allow yourself to be someone else. Maybe it's an achievement, a badge of honor, a moral standard that you've lived up to, a standard of success that you've attained, a title that you hold, something that you've done that you're just proud of and you want people to know about. What is it? I imagine there are a number of things that might be coming to your mind, and I want to offer that it might be the first thing. It might be that thing that you thought of and were like, no, it can't be that. I don't want it to be that. And brushed away. And I want to encourage you this week, as we have in previous weeks, to take a step in that direction. To follow whatever the go, get rid of was that Jesus called you, is calling you to. Take time and listen, but take a step. And don't just settle for the easiest one, because Jesus sure didn't with this young man. And maybe you're not ready for that big one that you know deep down Jesus is calling you to. And maybe this week you just take a smaller step. But don't think that big one's going away. If you keep coming to Jesus, it'll keep coming back. Because ultimately, Jesus knows that whatever that thing that you really don't want to give up, Jesus knows that it's keeping you from something even better. Because on this side of the go and sell all your possessions, it seems harsh and unreasonable and maybe even cruel for Jesus to ask this of the rich young man or of us. And especially living in a culture that laughs at Lent and spiritual disciplines and giving things up, in a culture that says we should and deserve to have what we want, when we want, and as much as we want. That this command to go and get rid of seems so harsh to us. This brings us to faith in the gospel. That only in Jesus we find the life that we were created to live. The life that will ultimately bring us joy and satisfy us. And the faith that we can trust God's love for us. That if God has asked us to let something go, it's only and always because He has something more and better. Whether it's St. Francis, who was naked and poor, singing joyful praises in the forest, or St. Paul, who said, I consider everything rubbish compared to the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, and being found in Him. We need to trust the saints, the official ones and the ordinary ones, who have gone to the other side of Jesus' go before us, and discovered that the fullness of life and joy and peace, the eternal kind of life that only God can offer to us, is worth everything we could give. Let's pray. Loving God, Help us to trust you. Help us trust that voice that is speaking into our souls and calling us to either get rid of something that's keeping us from fully following you, or to take what it is that we have and use it for your kingdom. Help us to trust you. Help us to trust your wisdom. Help us to trust your voice. Help us to trust your love for us. Amen.